Hello and welcome back to Go with the Flow podcast. This is Robin Flow and we are going to get into it. We're going to talk about Love and Marriage DC season three, episode two. So let's just get right on into it. All right. So we pick up with Arena and Ashley sitting at lunch, continuing to discuss this conflict at the Christmas party. Arena's trying to let Ashley know she had no ill intention, and Ashley ultimately reiterates to Arena that she takes friendship very seriously and that she considers the Tylers like family. And at this point, I feel like there's hope that you guys can fix it. But I also feel like I could see how things could go left, because when it comes to pride and ego, it can eliminate a situation. It can make it worse. It can, whatever progress that could be made, it could just put a pin in it before it can heal, right? So Arena wants to make it clear to Ashley she's not picking sides and that she loves Ashley. And like, I think it really bothered her that Ashley basically like cussed her out, you know, in a way, because she figured that she assumed that Arena was going to check on Joy first. And to be honest, like, it's kind of childish. Like, I can understand in a moment you're mad, you heated, you know what I'm saying? It's your house. But at the same time, there comes a point where you got to, you know, I mean, I guess that's what this sit down was for, to check yourself and be like, it's not even that serious. That's my girl. Like, yeah, me and Joy had our fallout, but I'm not going to let that like mess up this budding friendship that I've been building with my other friend, you know? So Ashley, you can tell, is a territorial kind of friend. She's territorial about Arena. And, you know, that can go real sideways, because as adults, you can't tell people you can't be friends with this person, you can't be friends with that one, because there's a lack of trust. You're assuming that if I'm your friend and you're friends with my enemy, you might go to them and talk mess about me. Now, I'm a loyal kind of friend. If my good friend says I ain't with this person because they did A, B, and C, then I'm probably going to keep that person at a distance. I'm not going to be mean to them, because that's not my nature. I wouldn't go out of my way to like, I'm not going to talk about them or anything like that. But you know what I'm saying? If it's something that harmed my friend, I'm probably going to put this, unless I'm friends with that person already, then I probably would be like, I'm just going to keep it separate. You know what I'm saying? We never going to talk about you. When I'm with that person, I'm never going to talk about you, and vice versa. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't think it's right for someone to tell you can't be friends with somebody. But I do think sometimes when you're friends with somebody, you know, you kind of go into a situation like, you don't mess with them, there's a reason. You know what I'm saying? Because I fully trust you. So I'm just going to, you know, keep my distance. And, you know, we warm up to being friends, cool. If we don't, that it is what it is. So I don't know, this whole situation, from what I'm hearing based off of current time, because I always have to, you know, go back to the fact that they did this a year ago. So there's so many things that have happened that we see, some we don't see. But overall, it just sounds like a lot of people who want to be right, or hurt people who say, oh, that's what you're going to say about me, so that's what I'm going to say about you. It's just very childish. You know what I'm saying? And we've learned from other reality shows, talking about you, Potomac, that when people don't get over it, it just becomes miserable. It becomes miserable to watch, because you're just like, okay, so are y'all going to be friends and get like, or friendly and be able to get past it, and, you know, maybe not be best friends, but maybe someday y'all can kind of build back to it? Or are we going to get this show where it's kind of like half the people on this side, half the people on that side? Like, I'm not interested in that. I'm just not. Anyway, refocusing, it's this implication that Ashley is jealous of Joy. Even though that's not what was said, it is kind of implied. The energy suggests it. And that really burns her up. Like, that really makes her feel some kind of way. And I'm not sure why, because if it's not true, it's just not true. You know what I'm saying? Like, if someone thinks that you're jealous of them, you can dead it and be like, I'm not jealous of you. I don't have time to be jealous of you. Like, we could be cool, we could not be cool. But like, I think you could say that one time and let it be known, but for it to kind of like bring up this much, it's crazy. Next scene, Joy and Winter speak at the gym. Winter talks about Joy getting kicked out of a Christmas party that she wasn't even invited to. And they bond over that because Winter's like, listen, I've been kicked out of a thing or two, so I will gladly pass the crown to you. Winter was, you know, obviously more than happy to pass that torch. She shares that Ashley, you know, Joy shares with Winter that Ashley shared her marriage news. And Joy feels like she shouldn't have shared it. I think we all can agree that that was out of line. You know what I'm saying? And this is, again, when it comes down to semantics, because I've been trying to keep up with these interviews and it's coming down to, well, she's not mad that I said it to Alicia, which is Ashley's best friend. She's mad because I said it on camera. Okay. And you already know that. You already know that there's a possibility that they were going to try to have a wedding special. So what? Like, I guess that's my issue. Like, even if it was a plan, so what? People do it all the time. People do that, whether it be for a storyline or whatever. It may have been one of those things where they got married on camera and then they said, oh, you guys, we were actually married all along, but this was a beautiful ceremony or whatever. It doesn't matter. If someone told you something big like that, that's like, you tell us, that's like somebody saying, I'm pregnant, don't tell nobody. And the first thing you do is go tell somebody. Not just that, on camera. Something that maybe they wanted to utilize or leverage it in some kind of way. It's business. You know what I'm saying? And for whatever reason, Ashley just can't seem to understand why that would make someone mad. It doesn't make them a liar. It just, you know, yes, were they withholding some of the truth in the camera? Sure. But in the end of it all, if they could have made that a thing, it would have, you know what I'm saying, would have added to their storyline. I don't know. I understand that you could feel like, well, I'm giving my day to day. This is how I feel in the moment. But I also feel like, why are you trying to rain on this person's whatever they're doing and then be upset because they're mad about it? It just don't add up to me. Anyway, you know, Joy says she did kind of come to the party hoping to move forward. However, she felt like Ashley spoke down to her when she implied that, you know, Joy and Clifton wouldn't be on the show if it wasn't for her. And I agree. Like, I kind of saw this a little bit with, not within the cast, but fans when it came to Love and Marriage Huntsville, where people would always say, well, like, when Tisha and Mel were not getting along, it always seems to come down to, like, this, you know, you got to humble yourself because they if it wasn't for them, you wouldn't be on the show. This is how I feel. If I was a person who helped give you an opportunity, yes, I can introduce you. I could put your name out there, but ultimately it's you. It's your talents. It's your whatever that you bring to the table that ultimately makes them hire you. They don't just hire you off the strength of, oh, this is my friend. I mean, that's almost with anything, whether it be a job, audition, you know, whatever. No one, most people aren't going to just be like, oh, okay, well, you said they were good, so we're going to just go ahead and hire them. Sometimes that happens, you know, but most of the time it has to be something where you still have to show you got some magic. Because what would it have sounded like if they said, oh, well, the Tylers are friends with them and the Silvas are building friendships with them, so let's just put them on out there. And they were just dry, unlovable or whatever. So it's just kind of like, yes, we can say thank you, but like, how many times does someone have to kiss up to you for you to be satisfied? Or if you do something and the minute that someone ticks you off, you take it and throw it in their face in malice. It's not like she threw it in her face to be hurtful. So you got what you wanted. You, Ashley, you got what you wanted. I think there was a moment there where there could have been, the miscommunication could have been fixed, but things went from 0 to 100 and been staying at 100. And it's unfortunate because I feel like it's put such a divide and no one's willing to just be like, I want to move forward. From what I've seen, no one's willing to just be like, I want to move forward. I want to get past it. It's just, you know, it's just like, ugh, bleh. Apparently, Winter warned her of the fickle nature of Ashley. So, you know, in real time, Winter and Ashley are friends now. They have a YouTube channel where they talk about the show together. So things can change. If anything tells me from watching them that things can change, but it can't go too far. So we're going to pray on it because I love this show and I don't want it to end because they can't figure it out. Moving on, Ashley and her assistant talk about how little Jamie went to social media to air his grievances out about what was showed on TV when Quick called little Jamie a bad kid. Now, I think you can't tell a grown man how to react because little Jamie's not a kid. Even though he's called little Jamie, he's very much in his mid-20s. But again, I think it's one of those things where you kind of almost have to prepare yourself to be like, this could go over wrong. And you don't know until you see the show, because he could have came to little Jamie and said, hey, I had this conversation on camera. I don't want it to rub you the wrong way. He probably really ain't think nothing of it because he's a very busy man. But he could have come to little Jamie and said, hey, I said this thing. I did not mean it. I want to clear the air now because it's a possibility it could come to the show. But I could also understand someone being like, but it might not come to the show. So maybe let me just not say something and see how it plays out. But either way, you know, it's one of those things. Once you say something, you kind of have to stand, as the kids say, stand on business. So I just kind of felt like it was a poor choice of words. I agree. It was a poor choice of words. Little Jamie going to Instagram about it. It's a generational thing. Is it right? I don't know if it's about right or wrong. It's just a generational thing. Ashley understands that calling him bad was not the best word to use. And, you know, she understands because of her relationship with her mom and how she still, you could tell, maybe kind of healing through that situation, you know, or it could be a trigger for her because of her experience. So she's very empathetic. And what I did love is that Ashley immediately, you know, after they, well, I don't know about in real time, but on the camera, immediately as they talked about it, she was like, okay, you know, she called Arena and was like, hey, we should have a sit down so we could talk about this. You know, she knows Quick's going to be mad, but she wants to settle it. This is the side of Ashley I like. You know, I think that Ashley can be seen as a villain very easily because, yes, she's living all her truths. I think the issue is taking accountability for it. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, I think, like, I appreciate in other shows, like, to me, and I know this is, people disagree, but to me, like, on Potomac, there's plenty of times, maybe not currently, but there's plenty of times in the past where Giselle's done something, rubbed somebody the wrong way, they came to her, they talked to her, she was like, okay, I apologize. Just like that. Okay, I apologize. And they move forward. And most of those people, they ended up having strong friendships from there. I like that. You know what I'm saying? If someone came to me and said, I feel like when you did this, it made me feel some kind of way. Those conversations are so hard to have sometimes. But if someone came to me, of course, I feel terrible. Anytime I make someone feel a way or they, you know, misunderstand my intentions, because I never do anything with intention, like a malice intention or to be hurtful or whatever. But when I F up, I know how to apologize. Can't tell someone when to receive it or to be friends with me. And that sucks. But, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. I try to give people grace just like I, you know, want people to give me grace. It doesn't always go that way. It is what it is. But yeah, I like this side of Ashley. I like this. This gives it balance. You know what I'm saying? That she knows how to just be like, it was very, to me, it was very telling that she wanted to make sure she went above and beyond to settle the mess with Irena. That definitely showed how much she cared. And that means something. Anyway, moving on. Clifton and Carmen, who was his, being his PR person and was a former castmate from Ready to Love, they meet up for pizza. Now, this has been a hot topic, okay? She comes in and she rubs his beard. And I was like, I try to put myself in that situation. Not the touching of the beard, but if I was his wife or girlfriend, love, romantic interest, whatever, we serious. If I saw that, if I experienced that, I would feel a whole kind of way because why are you touching my man's face? Like, what are we doing? Now, I have listened to an interview she did and she said, oh, well, if it was a woman and she was promoting her weave, I would have touched her weave. If it was a man with a suit, I would have rubbed his suit. And I understand from a business standpoint, okay, but you can also understand in retrospect how that could be seen as you're overstepping, you're much too comfortable, maybe let's not make that a habit. Do you know what I'm saying? If I think it just feels so uncomfortable to be called out or to be seen as someone who did something wrong. It is a painful and hard thing to kind of F up or drop the ball, but that's a part of life. And sometimes you just got to be like, it may not have been my intention, but I see how it could have looked like it was going away. Or maybe I didn't realize how I was giving off an energy that seemed super flirtatious. And I'm sorry about that. And I'll do my best to make sure that doesn't happen again. That's it. That's it. That's all. So anyway, she rubs his beard. It's giving, you're too comfortable. And I feel like, I don't know. In the moment, I felt like maybe is she trying to imply something messy is going on? Like, is she trying to set up that Clifton may be doing the most? Because she has her PR hat on. So it's hard to know when it's real, like when it's intentional, and when it was just like, oh, I didn't even realize this could be seen as flirtatious. I don't know how. You know, I don't know. It just says something in it. And it's not just on her. There's a comfortability between them where I think, I don't know what the conversations were had between him and Joy, but even for him, he should be held somewhat accountable because, yeah, I don't expect him to slap her hand away or anything, but, you know, he might have kind of pulled back a little bit, or I don't know, maybe it caught him off guard. I don't know. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we all can point fingers and say, you should have did this different. You should have did that different. But I honestly don't know what was going through his head. But yeah, it didn't look great. It didn't look great. It looked real messy. It looked real crazy. And then they cheers, and she says something like, cheers to business, ding. Cheers to love, ding. Those two, okay, I get it. In a general sense, y'all doing business together. You may be cheersing to love because Joy and Clifton love each other. Maybe Carmen, you got your own situation. But when she said to and sex, and Clifton kind of put up his beer bottle, and he knew that was too much. And he was kind of like, to me, that shows an awareness that he was like, that's too much. Because what else could be implied by y'all clinking things that perhaps something's going on? So to me, I feel like it's a retro. It's like an overcorrection because maybe you knew it was going to come off some kind of way. So now you're doing interviews going off. I'm sorry, I'm all over the place. Carmen's been doing interviews kind of going off on the petties saying, oh, I'm mad because I feel like y'all could have deaded it and said, oh, this isn't a thing. This isn't a throuple. This isn't any kind of relationship or whatever. But I'm just kind of like, but you got to take responsibility in it too, because you did and said things that made it feel or seem like it was more than what it was. And I feel like when y'all were friends, you were fine with that. You were fine with it being implied that it was a throuple when it was convenient. But the moment that it kind of maybe it affected her business in real life, then it was like, oh, well, y'all should have made sure to clear that up. Y'all should have went out your way to clear that up. That's when y'all, and it just is kind of like, yes, it's true. They could have done it. You know, Clifton could have done more to clear the air, but I feel like that's more of semantics of being like, I specifically want you to say this like this for it to be okay. And I just think that's unrealistic. That's how I feel about it. But yeah, when they did that, that toast, and even Clifton kind of pulled back like, I don't know about that. I was like, there it is. It felt intentional, Carmen. It may not have been, but that's what it looks like. She says people already think that they're a throuple, and they kind of laugh it off. So it's just kind of like you participating, but now that you're not cool, because in real time, they're not cool no more. Now that you're not cool, now it's an issue. That's weird. Like, what? Like, huh? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Anyway, they talk about his beard oil, which is why I guess she felt comfortable putting her hand in his beard. But she could have been like, how's your beard feel? Do you mind if I touch it? Or something like that. Like, I think she just probably was like, this is how we are. And maybe it was almost something that needed to be revealed, because maybe off camera, she did feel comfortable doing that. And that's not okay. Like, certain people might be okay with it. But like, if it's something that maybe you wouldn't do in front of Joy because you think she would be uncomfortable, then you shouldn't do it. So maybe this going forward teaches Carmen something that, you know, be more mindful, because it can get twisted. But you can't blame them, like put all the weight on them when it's like you're upset because of how the fans see you. They see what they saw because that's what happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's part of the reality TV of it all. You just have to be, you have to try to be honest, but also be mindful. I don't know. I don't know how that works, but because I'm not on reality TV, you know, and I can only imagine that it's tough, but that's what comes with the territory. So anyway, they're talking about the beard oil, and Carmen says that Joy kind of dropped the ball because, you know, basically Clifton was like, you know, I know she's really busy. I'm not sure if she was in Mexico at this point or just, I don't know. But, you know, he's basically saying, like, I know that she's really busy, but, you know, she just filed a copyright a couple weeks ago. And Carmen's kind of just like, what? You know, you can't really sell your product. Basically kind of like, you can't really do business like you want to in full capacity because this copyright isn't, I guess, filed but not approved. And so she's kind of like, this should have been done. And basically at the end of the conversation, they agree that maybe Carmen should kind of pick up where, you know, Joy may have, you know, not been able to do it as efficiently and quickly or whatever. All right, cool. You know, it's business. So Clifton agrees, you know, he thinks that she would be able to get results because that's what she specializes in. And that obviously that whole situation is going to evolve, but that is what it is. That's the end of that scene. Moving on. Winch is in the studio singing, and her middle sister is there. She says she's the oldest and this is one of her sisters. And, you know, she kind of gets out the booth and is talking to her about her boo thing, Yusha. And her sister reminds her to just take things slow. And she says she likes Yusha. Like, he seems cool. I think at this point, Winter talks about the fact that he said he loved her. And so, you know, you could tell she's in like the googly, like, oh, this feels good stage. The sister thinks Winter can be blinded by love and that she should just take her time. Now, I don't know what her previous relationships were outside of the I forgot what his name is, the dude she was married to when she was trying to get a divorce from. But I could kind of see that she could move fast if it felt good to her. And, you know, sometimes it is hard because if you feel head over heels in that new swoon kind of love, you have to work really hard to kind of be like, this feeling is not always going to feel like this sometimes. And really see the person for who they are. Currently, they're not together in real life. So we could just say it didn't work out. We want to see what we see play out on the show. That's pretty much that scene with Winter. Moving on, Arena is waiting for the Silvas to come over. She's hopeful that things do not go downhill fast. Jamie already knows Quick is going to mention what he said. He's going to mention that Jamie had also called little Jamie a bad kid. He already knows it's gonna get thrown up in his face, so he's prepared for that. Quick feels disappointed and would have preferred little Jamie come to him instead. He says basically, like, going on social media, that's corny. Like, Quick is already on like level, I'll give him 8.5. you know, he was already ticked off. Little Jamie and, you know, Quick, they go back and forth a little bit. It gets pretty heated. The Tyler said, you know, they warned little Jamie to slow down before he posted, but he wasn't trying to hear that. Like, he was upset and he did what he did. And there's nothing they could do to stop it, basically, because he's grown. He's a grown man. Quick calls little Jamie. I said that already. He calls him corny, but, you know, basically he's coming at him. He's like veins popping out his neck. Like, Quick does indeed throw Jamie under the bus and say something like, your dad said that about you first. Jamie jumps in and is like, yeah, I called him those things, but that's my son. And now I also applaud him for the efforts that he's made. And I kind of felt like in that moment, like last season, it really seemed like Jamie was bagging on him pretty bad. I have little children and I don't have adult children. So I know that eventually the time will come where sometimes, hopefully nothing too crazy, your kids do things that you did not envision for them or that disappoint you. And you kind of feel like you, I think it's kind of more of a reflection of you feeling like you're a failure because your kids aren't thriving, because you see other people out there who are their age or younger or older or whatever doing their thing. And I felt like he was really hard on little Jamie, and maybe at not understanding at that time what it could do to add to the mental stress of already someone who's feeling like they're behind in life or they're not where they want to be in life. So I'm glad that he did, that's a situation where Jamie could have, he semi-deflected, but he also owned it. You know what I mean? He could have been like, nah, this ain't about me. This is about you. But he said, yeah, I said it, but that's my son. Doesn't make it right. It almost makes it worse, but whatever. But I also applaud him for the positive changes he's making. So I felt kind of like, okay, I see some growth in Jamie in that regard. In that regard. That temper, man. Temper. I've seen people with real bad tempers, and it's just, it could get ugly. It could get ugly. But basically, in the end of it all, little Jamie, you know, and Quick, after a lot of arguing, after little Jamie saying, hey, Quick, why you yelling at me? Like, why you cussing at me? You can't be cussing at me. I don't like that. Like, we can't do that. Basically, Ashley had to jump in and kind of intervene as best she could to say, I understand. I understand why you're hurt. But, you know, Quick didn't mean it like that. Quick says, you know, I'm here for you. Like, I'm rooting for you. That's not what I meant. You know, I know it's what I said, but that wasn't my intention. And, you know, basically little Jamie just reiterates, why didn't you use yourself? You've been, I think he said on camera, like he had been shot. Quick had said he had been shot and stabbed and all that stuff. So he's like, why not use yourself an example? Why are you using me? Like, why you have to use me as the reason why, you know, you don't want your kid to be bad. And I understand that. I totally understand it. You know, even Jamie was kind of like, if I would have said anything bad about your kid, like, I wouldn't even do that. I wouldn't even say nothing bad about your kids. I would keep that out of, you know, that's kind of like off limits. So in the end of it all, they make up, you know, they dap it up or whatever, but little Jamie does say in his confessional, he really doesn't know how to feel about them. And like, it kind of changes how he feels because he looked at them like kind of like an aunt and uncle. And after that, it kind of just put a bad taste in his mouth. So we'll see where that goes. We move on to Joy and Clifton, who are talking about the wrestling event that Quick invited the guys to. He talks about how he plans not to wrestle. And she was like, you better not, because he recently got back surgery. And they talk about how Carmen, you know, talked about the beard oil and what needed to be done. And, you know, Joy and her confessional was like, listen, I did most of the legwork. I helped come up with the vendors for the logo. I mean, she basically saying, to me, it felt like she was saying, this is as much my baby as it is yours. I helped to make this happen. In the end of it all, though, she doesn't mind passing on the copyright stuff to Carmen. And she knows that this is her lane, so it's cool. That tells me right there, and it should tell the audience, how much trust she has in Carmen. Like, I don't think she suspected anything. I don't think she thought that anything was weird between Cliff and Carmen. And I honestly don't think anything has happened. I think that Carmen is beautiful. Clifton is handsome. And so, especially when it comes to good looking people, it's really easy for people to be like, I don't know, this chick spending a whole bunch of time with your man, I wouldn't feel good about that. And I mean, I think it's almost like human nature to be like, you're a good looking person and you're spending time with this beautiful woman. It's hard not to imagine that it could possibly evolve into something more. So I get it. I totally get it. And I think it was a recipe for disaster. Because sometimes you got to keep your friendships away from business just so things don't get convoluted. The guys meet up in the next scene to learn wrestling drills and bond. Clifton even decided to jump in despite having a healing back. He didn't throw himself on the ground or anything, but he did throw someone else on the ground. And I think he just kind of felt like, you know, like, man, I want to do something too. I mean, it's the same thing you do when you kids. I want to participate too. Quick said he got into wrestling because it has a lot of big earning potential. And he talks about how doing business together with your spouse or your mate can, you know, Sometimes it could get tough, and how it almost got the best of him when it came to him and Ashley. Clifton then kind of, so all the guys kind of agree and kind of talk about things that, times where things went left. And Clifton talks about the beard oil situation with Joy and how Carmen's stepping in because she can, you know, do it more efficiently. And the guys then ask Clifton about how Joy feels about Carmen being posted up with him on social media and close to him. And the guys wonder if Joy, Clifton, and Carmen are actually in a throuple. And I think that, especially if you didn't know, it looked away. Because I remember after Ready to Love, you know, I didn't know that Joy and Clifton were going to end up on Love and Marriage DC. So I was a person who was like, I kind of got invested in their Ready to Love story. And I was like, I hope they're still together. Like, I hope they're doing good. And sometimes you would see him and Carmen more because Joy was in Mexico at the time. But I totally could see, like, I remember kind of thinking maybe once or twice, like, man, him and Carmen got a lot of pictures together. I wonder what's going on there. I didn't know what to think because I don't know them. I don't know those people. But, you know, obviously when I saw Joy and Clifton together, I was like, okay, they're still going strong. Cool. But I can totally see how people can, you know, without the silence and acknowledging it, it gives people a lot of room to wonder what's really good. What's really going on? So that's that, y'all. That's episode 2. Sorry, I kind of went on some rants and raves because it's hard. This show happened, you know, a year ago. And there's things that have happened that in current time kind of tell the future. So it's hard to not include that stuff. Anyway, if you made it this far, I so deeply appreciate you. Again, my name is Robin Flo. This is Go With The Flow podcast. If you want to leave a feedback, you can always go to gowtfpodcast@gmail.com. Send me an email, share this with a friend. Let's talk about it. Like, let's talk about the Tylers. Let's talk about the Silvers. Let's talk about the Petties. Let's talk about Winter. Let's talk about it. This show is good and I'm so glad it's back. I don't know why it took so long, but I'm happy that it's here now. So if you made it this far, I appreciate you. And until next time, bye.